If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
An Erio's original.
It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, where you come from. If you're funny, you're funny.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Hi, this is Margaret Cho. You're listening to The Margaret Cho. This is a very special Pride episode for Gay Pride. And today we are speaking to Melissa Rivers, a very important ally, about her mother, Joan Rivers, a very important ally, all about Gay Pride, all about being an ally. Let's talk to Melissa Rivers. I love you, and this is a special, a Pride edition of the podcast. As you know, you are a very favorite guest of mine, but this episode is very special because I want to talk about your and your mom's legacy as longtime allies within the gay community. And I think when I think about your mom, I think about like the first time I think about like anybody being an ally to the gay community, and like think about like how deep that is. Like even in the 60s, that's a big deal.
It totally is a big deal. I as we always used to joke, I was raised with a lot of uncles mm-hmm. who did not have aunts with them. So that my, you know, I had uncle this and uncle that, and I always, you know, and they were a couple, like I never thought anything of it. And I think, you know, and I don't know if it's because my parents were in the arts or, I mean, which I'm sure is part of it. It was never anything I ever gave any thought to. I think the first time I ever gave it any thought that this might not be something that everybody has in their life was when my mother did the first fundraiser at the Backlots in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And there were massive death threats to the point where my parents took me with them to the event, and I was little, because
they figured
out if my mom, my dad thought, well, if they're going to blow the place up, we're all at least going to go together.
Wow.
What year do you think that would have been?
I should know the answer to this. It had to have been the very early 80s.
Right, because so think about doing gay activism basically in the early 80s. I mean, that's what that is.
Totally. And I mean, I want to say I remember when it was all still called gay cancer and gay pneumonia.
Right.
And then it was AIDS, and then it was HIV, AIDS, and all of that. So, I mean, we're talking about the very beginning. One of my mom's first albums back in the day was called Mr. Phyllis, who was her hairdresser, supposedly. So, I mean, it was taking on sacred cows way early.
You know, I remember her being on television, and this is probably 1981 or 82. And you could tell that she was talking to gay men in the audience.
Yes.
And gay men were responding.
Yes.
And it wasn't veiled. It was very clear what she was doing. And yet, you know, she was saying, you know, things without saying things. Like, it was really genius.
And it also became, it didn't just speak to gay men. All through my mother's career, she also had a very large African-American support as fans. Again, speaking the truth, saying things without saying things to any group that might have felt not heard or marginalized or any of those things. And I always found that fascinating as well. It was cultures who appreciate someone just being honest.
Yeah. It was the boldness. I think it was that kind of like, I'm going to say what people are afraid to say. Do you think that's what it is? Is that I'm just going to do that?
I think I'm going to say what everybody's thinking. But that also became part of, you know, her whole thing with Fashion Police and the red carpet is, I'm just saying what you're all saying next to each other on the couch.
Right.
I mean, that was really the basis of Fashion Police was, don't tell me that you're all sitting at home, especially the gay men, saying, oh, isn't everyone pretty?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was the same thing. It was, you know, it was sort of a variation on the theme of her entire career.
I think that, like, what it is that made me so enamored of her was her bravery. Where do you think that came from?
I was going to say,
like,
her staggering good looks.
Well, that too. I mean, she was just so bold. Like, she was just, I mean, what do you think? Like, where she just didn't back down. And
no.
I know that she would get scared. So where did it come from?
I don't know. Later in life, she used to say, what are they going to do to me that they haven't already done? Which, when she came to that conclusion, was extremely freeing, which is when I think also she was sort of rediscovered by a new generation of, what are you going to do to me? You're going to tell me I'm wrong. You're going to say this. You're going to say, I don't care. I've been fired. I've been this. I've been widowed. I've been through all of these things. There's nothing left for anyone to do to me. You either like me or you don't.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I mean, we can get very sort of, you know, deep and philosophical and say, well, it's because it was easier to put things out there and dare people not to like you as a defense mechanism or any of those things. I just think that, you know, again, it goes back to, and I know that's something that you've discussed with her, which is the idea of funny is funny. It does not matter who you are or how old you are or what you are. Funny is funny. And also, I think you'll probably agree to this, is she used to hate when people would be like, you know, you're either a comedian, male or female, or you're not. If you're not a comedian, just like, you know, you know, you're a comic. And it,
right.
And also, I think because she had to break through so many gender barriers, that it was a lot of, like, in your face daring someone to say no.
Yeah. And it's, I think the gay men really gave her, like, so much adoration. There was, like, so much, like, I don't know. It's like gay men give us permission to be ourselves, and they give us adoration and adulation.
And she loved the glamour and the fabulousness and, you know, all the, you know, so that sort of went hand in hand. And if you look at a lot of women who are icons to gay men, you know, look at Sarah Jessica Parker. Again, it was the fashion. It was fabulous. It was, you know, again, sort of a take no prisoners. This is, I'm wearing sequins during the day and I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's an enduring kind of love, you know? And they really can't, like, I remember I got a fan letter. They're really loving, like, this one man wrote me a letter and he goes, I'll have you know, I've only written 2 fan letters in my life. And the other one was to Eve Arnold.
You're like, wow, that's a callback.
I said, well, but I love it. I'll have you know.
No. But I think it's also, I think, a lot of that, you know, throwback, and again, even with women who are you know, gay icons now, the idea of glamour and movie star and that old lifestyle of, you know, fabulousness and, you know, Joan Crawford and Betty Davis, you know, it's that level of just being like, isn't this great? And let's have fun. And even like, let's just enjoy.
Yeah. And living up to it, you know, living up to it and, you know, living up to the glamour and that thing. And then, you know, your mom would talk about having the Brits over. I guess Olivier would come over.
Yes.
Did you meet? Were you? You must have been really, really little, though.
I was.
You're probably before you were born.
I was already, you know, an actual human at that point. I was little. But no, my parents always, you know, that was the whole thing, was I would have to like put on my nice clothes and we would use the good dining room and all that stuff but that's how my mom, that was the fantasy life she lived and unapologetically, you know, I could operate multiple place settings, knew which fork, and I could use a finger bowl by the time I was 5 and do it properly.
That's so great. So then you would have like the British movie stars over.
Yes.
So that would be like Olivier and because your dad's British.
My dad's actually German, but raised in England. Yeah.
Yeah. So then you would have like the Brits over. So who did you have over?
Oh God.
Do you remember like when, cause you were probably really, really little.
Yeah. I mean, one of, you know, my parents' very good friends were Vincent Price and his wife, Carol Brown, who was a big who was an actress.
That's
and
incredible.
was Olivier's, I believe, Macbeth, and they hated each other. So my mom always used to let them sit near each other just to watch the sparks fly.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So, you know, Roddy McDowall was one of my godparents.
I loved him.
But that's also because you got to remember during that time in Hollywood, my parents were not like super 70s, like free love swingers. And that's sort of what the big Hollywood community was. So they found their own niche.
Right. Well, your parents were more like the 60s set. Like they were almost like, like Roddy was kind of like 60s set. So they were a little bit more, a little, not old fashioned, but
traditional.
They were a little more proper.
Well, people always ask what it was like. I'm like, people don't understand that I was raised in an extremely traditional household. We sat down to dinner every night. We, you know, all these things. To the point that even after, you know, when my mother died, most of my friends still referred to her as Mrs. Rosenberg. And, you know, you would call the apartment and they would say Rosenberg residence. They wouldn't even say Rivers.
Right.
Because my mother was Mrs. Rosenberg.
Right. And she had been married and she had you, so that she wasn't like, you know, smoking pot with Diane Cannon.
Yeah, that wasn't her group. Yeah, they weren't hanging out in Malibu.
No, she wasn't dropping acid with Brian Wilson hitchhiking with the Manson family. It wasn't that, like,
no,
they were around there, but they weren't, you know, it wasn't that sort of like, it wasn't that sort of scene. So it was the same time period, but it's definitely like there was a couple of different cliques operating, you know. So this was like the more these are the people that were actually like working in Hollywood.
Yeah, and it wasn't the 70s walking down the beach in Malibu
no.
in your dress with no underwear.
No, it was the ladies like dunking their faces in ice to make their call times in the morning. Like they were the people actually like working on set, and that, you know, they were still making television and, you know, going to work. So this is like the people making the TV shows and going out there and like definitely like the definitely the part of Hollywood that was still making movies and TV and, you know, always out there. So it's a similar establishment. You know, that's why it's so amazing that she was still an ally.
It was establishment versus what they would refer to as like the anti-establishment, where my parents still, you know, on Sunday nights you went to Chasen's and, you know, my dad would never go out without a jacket on.
Right. Right.
Because that just wasn't what you did. And I think it's also because there was such a difference in the world that my parents embodied, especially in my mother, in what she did professionally and the persona that she showed on stage and on TV versus the persona at home. They couldn't even, she was just a lady at home.
But that's also what makes her brand of revolution so extraordinary, because what she was saying on stage and also the kind of material that she was bringing out, like, and her connection with gayness and doing these shows basically for gay men and, you know, doing these shows at the Backlot and all this kind of stuff, all this gay activism in the 80s, it's incredible, because to be so establishment and anti-establishment in the gayness is really incredible, you know?
That's amazing. Yeah, that's what's so amazing, but you know, not to cast stereotypes, but you tell me a gay man that doesn't want to come to a home and see someone's good china.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Even my friends who are gay are like, what, you're using the kitchen dishes? You know what I mean?
It's true. They love it.
Yeah.
They love it. I mean, it's really, I mean, but it's like, you can have both. You can have revolution and you can also have good china. You can have
definitely
all of those things and still live well.
Yes. You can. I mean, and I think that's where, you know, my mother, and I give my father credit for this too, because it was also his household. It goes back to what, you know, and you knew that, which you'd always say is funny is funny. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, where you come from. If you're funny, you're funny.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And it's true. If you're talented, you're talented. And it doesn't have to just do with, if you're a good actor, you're a good actor. If you're a good writer, you're a good writer. My mother said, I don't care what anyone else does in the privacy of their own bedrooms. I don't care.
Yeah.
Which was always sort of which is sort of how I was raised. It's like, obviously nothing illegal. Let me just qualify all that. Because, you know, someone's going to be like, what do you mean? But who is anyone to judge within bounds of, you know, legal and legalities and things like that? What do you care if the person is a good person, what they, you know, so they want to be, you know, wear a leather cat suit. Who fucking cares? You know, who cares?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Where did she first figure out like her connection with gay men? I mean, does it go as far back as like, what do you know, like what her first experiences were like with gay audiences were like in the very beginning?
Oh, it had to have been in the Village.
Yeah.
Or actually in college, because when she was at Barnard, she was part of the Columbia Players and, you know, all, and even though a lot of them were closeted and all that, I think it had to, that's the logical place, I think, would have to be when she was at Barnard.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always curious, like, who was her first gay friend? Like, we all have our first gay boyfriend. I think mine is Scott Silverman. He's still my gay husband. Do you have a gay husband?
But you got to remember, I was raised, like we always say, with a lot of uncles.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, so it's hard for me to say, oh, this was my first. I don't know what my life would be. Like, there's no, you know, I'm not like a duckling with an imprinted memory. You know what I mean? Because yes. It's just what was. It had mm-hmm. nothing to do with anything except that my mother was always looking for extra women at a dinner party. Uh-huh. With the seating. That was always, there were times that was a challenge.
Right.
You know.
Like, yeah, definitely. But the ally thing is really, I mean, it's important to like find your place too, in like allies. I mean, it definitely changes it too if you're bisexual as well, but it's like also allies of within heterosexuality is important as well too, to acknowledge. But it's like the place in it is, you know, it's really important. But
I actually, it just came back to me. I have a very good friend that we've been friends since childhood, and he was very close with my parents. Actually, hard to believe when I tell you this story. He is openly gay and married now, and has been for years. But I remember, I think I was still in college, or I was a senior in high school or just a freshman in college, and we were having a conversation, and he said, if I could cut off my arm to be straight, I would, because life would be so much easier.
Mm.
But remember, this is from someone who was 19 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously now he has a completely different thing. But I think that was the first time it dawned on me how different and not necessarily in a good way his life was at that point, where he was just coming to terms. He was just coming out to his parents. He was just coming out to his friends.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, it is literally who he is. And his whole point was, there's nothing I can do to change me.
Yeah.
And at 19, I think he was 20 and I was 17 or 18, so I'm a little bit younger than him. But I remember that having a very profound effect on me.
Yeah.
And a real moment of clarity and understanding of on a much deeper level.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're still, you know, we always joke that he loves me and I hate him. That's always our running joke. He calls me, he's like, I know you hate me, but I love you. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I do hate you. Bye. Yeah. And I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had another friend, which is one of my favorite stories, who is out visiting from college. It was the summer and we were sitting in my parents' backyard and he's talking and talking and talking. And he's getting all emotional and telling me about this incident at camp when he was little and that. And he's like, and I'm bi. And I remember looking at him going, no, you're not. You're gay. And he was like, he's like, no. And I called another friend of ours going, can you tell him that we all know and we probably know more than him?
Oh, that's so funny.
And he's actually so now. Funny. Yeah. And he's married and he has twins. And of course, by the way, the twins are so butch. It's hilarious because he's like, oh my God. He's like, I am an ice hockey mom. And then, yeah, but he's like laughing. He's like, you know, I just don't like some of them, but the ones that I like, I really like. There's some that are just great. And the other ones are just, I'm like, you sound like me. You are a sports mom.
Yeah.
You not a sports dad. He is the partner, the husband, is definitely the sports dad, and my friend is the sports mom.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But is that's that not? But I think it's hilarious.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. That's, I mean, great.
And the boys are playing hot ice hockey. Like, yeah. They're playing a full contact, aggressive sport. He's like, yeah. He's like, why am I here? Couldn't they have played golf or tennis?
Well, it's almost like you become the opposite of what your parents are.
Yes.
Like you become almost, yeah, you become exactly the opposite.
And one of the things, one of the things, because he had his kids a little bit later than I did, we're always laughing about it. He's just, you know, he's like, he always calls me, he's like, did Cooper destroy his clothes? I'm like, oh, on a daily basis. He goes, I don't know how they rip so fast. I said, he's like, I was always perfect and neat and tidy.
No.
And he's like, they're, I'm like, yeah, they are.
Rough and tumble.
Yep. He's like, rough. I go, think about how your brother was, not you.
Yeah. Yeah. Rough and straight.
Yeah. But I think it's hilarious that, you know, and wonderful that he's got this, and he loves it. He sent me a picture on, I forget what it was, it Mother's Day, and they had his mom over or was something. I can't remember what it was, just recently while they were in, while we're still all in quarantine. And he sends me this picture and they're perfect. The whole family picture is perfect. And I'm like, I send back like, of course. And he's like, you have no idea what it took to get this picture. He goes, and no one appreciated that I made a dinner. And I'm just like, happy Mother's Day.
Oh, that's so funny. That's funny.
Yeah. I'm like, Lawrence, get used to it, dude. It's just, that's your life.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. Would I just, you know, but there's something about that I think is so, it's given us such another bond.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
That's really great. I love it. I love it. Well, it's like, you know, I mean, it's, they're like realizing like how their gayness affects other people straight.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so cool. I'm like, oh dear God. I'm like, promise me you will never be like the class parent, because you will alienate all of the other parents, because he's one of those. He's very like organized and perfect, and everything has its place. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, a double major. And one of the, when we were in college, it was like, you know, Japanese and philosophy, like, you know, way, you know, and then business school and then this and then that. I'm like, you will make the other person's parents hate you. You realize that.
Uh-huh. Cause yeah.
But just like any of them, like I always hated the class parent who was like, email reminder, you know, you're in charge of cookies, you know.
Oh, that's obnoxious. Like,
but that's part of having a kid.
Yeah.
So I told my friend, you know, you don't need someone who is so, you know, perfect trying to do that. I'm like, you'll make everyone hate you.
Yeah, that's gross.
But I think, you know, I love the fact, you know, and I do think about that all the time. And I guess you're making me think about that. Maybe my mom had a little bit to do with that. The fact that Anderson Cooper went on and said, I'm a dad. You know, and because I think for someone of that blue, very, very blue blood, not very conservative, but that very American royalty group to come out and just be like, guess what? Not I'm a dad now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was brought to tears.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
It's really beautiful.
It is. It's real. And it's really important.
It's so important.
He's great. I adore him. I think he's really awesome.
But I always laugh. I'm like, things are so bad that he's like, you know, things are bad when Anderson is laying out in the sun and getting tan.
Oh, you know, no.
He's throwing all caution to the wind. Fuck it. We're all going to die. I'm going to finally get a tan.
I'm scared.
If we ever see him tan, we know the world is coming to the end.
That's really scary. That's a really scary thought. Are you going like crazy in this like quarantine? Core? What's your quarantine like?
Cooper came home from school. So I think it's a combination. We were like extremely, no one can come in. We can't see anybody. No one can do anything. And then when we started, Cooper, I let him have a couple friends in the backyard, but only ones that I knew the families, because I knew that they were all being as neurotic and crazy as us. And then we developed what we call, which a lot of people did, but we call it our quarantine. Which are the few other families that we socialize with.
Yeah, that's good.
What about you? Good.
I'm okay. You know, I have a quarantine, a Valentine, who I see every couple of days, and so it's going very well. And he's been my quarantine buddy guy.
Nice.
Not buddy guy, but a guy who's buddy.
Right.
So it's friends with benefits, but it's actually the benefits are quite
good.
Beneficial.
Okay.
So, you know, not, you know, I think it's gone well.
Okay. Yeah. So you've got a quarantine.
Yeah. A little quarantine, very small team.
Yeah. But a quarantine nonetheless.
It's going well. And yeah, it's fun. I mean, you know, we'll see. But yeah. So we have a little, very small herd immunity, and I have my little dog, and, yeah, I like it, but I want to work. So it'd be great to go back and do shows. I miss comedy a lot.
What do you think's going to happen? How do you think it's going to morph?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know. I just think that it's really strange. I'm just sad to miss Gay Pride this year. That's what's sad about it. I was supposed to go to Tokyo, and I'm sad to miss Japan this year. But you know, I'm just trying to be very, just trying to stay at home and see what's going to happen. I don't know. I have no idea. What do you think?
I think it's going to be extremely hard on comedians.
Yeah.
Because if you watch any of these shows like John Oliver and Bill Maher, you mm-hmm. realize so much of the rhythm comes from, I mean, I think we all know that, but I think people are saying so much of the rhythm comes from the laughs.
Yes,
and the,
so true.
And the feedback from the audience.
Yes.
And
that's
so true. It takes an adjustment even as the viewer to understand the new cadence and the new rhythm.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I don't know how my mother would be handling it. It's very hard to sit and do something streaming when you're not hearing reactions.
It's really hard. It's really hard. But I do think that fashion will benefit from masks.
Oh, God, please. And by the way, now no one will ever know how, if you wear gloves, no one will ever see if your hands look old or not.
I know.
Madonna's way ahead of the curve.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I do like a mask moment. I think that we could do some fun stuff with masks. And that my friend Oliver Peck is so cute with the Orville Peck is so cute with the masks, with the cute like fringe. It's so cute. So I do love seeing that.
And also you only have to do your eye makeup.
Yeah, it looks so good. So I love this sort of like mystery.
Yes.
That
the mystery.
Sort of thing. That's
which is
kind
all
of a
good.
Fun thing.
Yeah, but it makes it hard to eat and drink.
It does. It does. But it is like a kind of a fun, you know, it's kind of a fun thing to play around with. And then it's sort of like you're always like Grey's Anatomy.
You know, or all like the fans with the geishas.
Yeah. It's very like.
It's very.
It's very Memoirs of a Geisha.
Yeah.
All the time.
With little fans. What have you been watching?
I have been watching a lot of old movies. I've been watching, well, I watched Seven Samurai, which is really good. And I watched Sunset Boulevard.
Have you watched, since we're talking about like all things like fabulous and gay and all that, have you watched The Great?
The Great? What is that?
The
Great.
It's the Elle Fanning series, and it's about Catherine the Great, but all of the dialogue is modern, and it's hilarious. It's like
Great. I have to watch it.
But it's all period costumes and sets.
Oh God, I have to watch it. The Great.
But they speak like how we're speaking. The language is not a very stifled. It's as if they're just people talking.
Okay, I'm putting it down because I'm going to watch it. The Great.
And have you watched Bad? Have you watched Bad Education?
No, I have to watch that too.
Really fun, really good.
Is that with
Hugh Jackman? Really,
oh no, okay. The Great and Bad Education.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman and Allison Janney.
Oh, great! I love her.
Yeah, those are two for me. They've been two of the must-sees, and of course, Tiger King and all that.
Oh yeah, Tiger King is great. Yeah. I do really, I was really fun. And then I like TikTok. I do like all the dances on TikTok.
Yeah, have you done any? They're really hard.
I can't do any. They're hard to do because I'm like, I can't even copy it. It's only 16 seconds. I can't even copy it.
Right. I'm not good at it.
It's too hard.
It's just, I can't.
It's too hard.
And I'm uncool. It's fun to watch, and I'm uncoordinated.
I'm uncoordinated, but I like to watch.
What has been, since we're talking about, again, gay pride, what have you been wearing at home?
Oh, just a vintage t-shirt and shorts now because it's hot. But the vintage shirt is cost $300. So
of course it's not
no slouch.
Right.
But it's still hot. So
yeah, no, I've been doing a lot of t-shirts and sweats.
It's nice.
It is. But now when I do important calls, I have to actually get dressed because I think it makes me more alert.
It feels good.
Yeah.
But it feels good.
I don't know the next time I'm going to put on a pair of heels.
I put on some knee-high boots today and it felt good, even though it was hot. It felt like it was purposeful.
Just to walk around the house?
Yeah, just to, you know, I went to go get a Rich History chicken and I had on some knee-high boots and it felt purposeful.
Nice. I like that.
It was good for me. What should we do, like, mask-wise? What do you think, mask-wise will be good for, going out?
Oh, God, it's another accessory to worry about, isn't it?
I know. I got a cute one that's got, like, a zipper, but it's got, like, a lining, so it's, like, cute. So it's got, like, some flair.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple that are patterns, sort of, like, but not, like, heavy patterns, kind of, like, little wavy pattern or little soft pattern or any of that. Obviously, we've all done, like, the basic black. You know, I've been trying to buy ones that are being made for charity.
Oh, that's good.
Kind of that thing, sort of a thing. Like, for every one we make, we'll donate however many. So I've been doing a lot of those.
That's good. That's good.
You know, I just keep the basic black in my car because, you know, you just can't go wrong. It's like the little black dress, the little black mask.
I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, I love you. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
I love you. And thank you for doing this special, like, little mini series on, you know, since we're coming up on Pride.
I know. Well, you know, we had to do this because it's like, you know, Joan's contribution to this is really amazing. And, you know, thinking about what she was able to do and can never forget, never forget.
True. And I love you. And I can't wait that we can all do something in person.
I know. I miss you. And
miss you
take
too.
Care, stay safe, and I will see you soon.
You got it. It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming apart.
The Margaret Show is an Erios production with editing by Tracy Levy and original music by Garrison Starr. Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I don't know where to start. Coming out of the dark.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.